Hey, we're going through this series called What's the Point? I think next week is the last week, but through the book of Ecclesiastes. And King Solomon, a wise king, has spent, you know, the last nine chapters that we've been going through just trying to make sense of this broken world that we live in, right? Trying to search for the meaning of life. What's the point of life? What's the meaning of life? And he has been focusing on life on this earth, right? There's a phrase that has been used throughout these chapters called under the sun, meaning not outside of God's kingdom, in this earth, under the sun. What does life mean here? What's the meaning of life here? And the conclusion is that, hey, if this is all there is in this world, if this is all there is under the sun, outside of God's kingdom, what's the point? What is the meaning of all this? And his finding is that it's all meaningless. It's that it's all pointless. In fact, it is only when you bring God and God's kingdom into the picture, into your life, into your heart, that you truly find meaning and purpose. Amen. Outside of that, it's meaningless. It doesn't have purpose. And so seeking God's wisdom will help us live a life of purpose and meaning. However, we need to be careful with foolish living. We need to be careful with living our lives foolishness, because that can derail our lives very quickly. The bottom line for Solomon in this chapter is, don't be a fool. Amen. Tell your neighbor. No, just kidding. Don't tell your neighbor. But here's the title of the message this morning: Live wisely, don't be a fool. Live wisely, don't be a fool. So if you have your Bibles on Ecclesiastes chapter 10, we're going to be going through that chapter this morning, or the majority of it. And so what does it mean to live wisely? And how can we avoid living like a fool, making foolish decisions in our lives, making bad choices in life, and understanding the dangers of living like a fool or living with foolish decisions? Now, here's the truth. Life is hard. Can I get an amen to that? Life is hard. Even if you're a wise person, even if you make good decisions in your life, even if you make wise decisions in your life, I think we can all agree that life is still hard, even with making good decisions. Even with that, sometimes bad things happen. There's things in life that happen, and not everything turns out exactly as we would hope for, even when making wise decisions. However, there are times when we invite bad situations in our lives because of the foolish decisions that we make. Sometimes we invite, bad things that happen because of foolish decisions. And so today I want to share several lessons from King Solomon on living wisely and avoiding foolish living. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to start. The first lesson is, wise living avoids foolish decisions. If you want to live wisely, you need to avoid foolish decisions. And we'll start with verse 1 out of chapter 10. And this is what it says. As dead flies cause even a bottle of perfume to stink, so a little foolishness spoils great wisdom and honor. A small animal that's tiny like this can spoil something so valuable like a bottle or a jar of costly perfume. In those times, that perfume was very costly, right? It cost a lot of money to have it, and so it was something valuable. And to have a dead fly land in this perfume, it would spoil this costly perfume. It will make it stink after a while. It'll take the value of it away, and it ruins the costly perfume. Now, in an example for in today's world is that I like food. Amen. Anybody else like food? Yeah, I like to eat. I enjoy dining out with my wife to a good restaurant that has good food. However, I have a little phobia that my stomach is very, very weak. Anything that tastes or looks like it doesn't belong in my plate will turn my stomach upside down. It will ruin my dinner. It can be a very costly dinner, but it will ruin it immediately. In fact, I almost want to run out of the restaurant because I can't even look at the plate. It ruins my meal. It's one of my biggest fears, especially even if I see a small hair in my plate. That's it. The meal is over. My wife is different. She can take it out and continue eating. I think I've caught her taking it out of my plate before I can see it. Now, when that happens, I'm totally good, right? The problem is not that it was there. The problem is that I saw it, right? That's what just turns my stomach. But it could completely ruin my appetite. Now, wisdom tells us that you can spend a lifetime building your good character. You can spend your whole life building a good reputation before your family, before your coworkers, before your neighbors. You can spend your lifetime building good wealth, building good relationships with your children, with your neighbors. Building a good marriage, right? Sometimes it takes a lifetime to build a good marriage. My wife and I have been married 39 years. Next year I'll be 40, and she's still working at it, right? No, we're still working at it. It takes the two of us to it takes a lifetime to build a healthy marriage. Right? It takes a long time. It takes a long time to build honor and to build wisdom in our lives, right? They say that if you start to get some gray hairs in your head, it's either that you're too stressed or that you're gaining wisdom in your life, right? Because you spent all these years living life and you're gaining wisdom in your life. So you can spend a lifetime building these things in your life or guarding these things in your life. But guess what? All it takes is one small, tiny, foolish decision in your life to bring everything tumbling down. To ruin everything. See, one foolish decision can cost you years of faithfulness. Just a little bit of nasty ruins everything that is good in your life, or can ruin everything that is good in your life. Can ruin your reputation, your wealth. It can collapse your marriage, your ministry. Everything can come tumbling down just because of one small decision, foolish decision in your life. And so the lesson here is, hey, don't be a fool. Live wisely and avoid foolishness in your life. That means that we need to guard our character every day. We need to guard our marriage, especially your marriage. We need to guard it every single day. We need to invest in it every single day. It's not easy. It's not simple. It takes time and it takes investment to guard it. Your relationships, your career, your reputation. How about this? Your testimony. We need to guard our testimony in everything that we do. Not just on a Sunday morning when we're next to our brothers and sisters, but when you go to work, when you go home, when you talk to your children, your neighbors, we need to always be on guard with our testimony, avoiding foolish decision. Wisdom takes a long time to build. But foolishness can destroy it overnight. foolishness can destroy it in just a moment. So I heard someone say that all it takes is one moment of stupid and your wisdom, your honor, marriage, ministry are gone. Verse 2 says, a wise person chooses the right road, but a fool takes the wrong one. You can identify fools just by the way they walk down the street. We're talking about foolish decisions that you and I make. These are decisions that we should have known better, right? These are decisions that we probably knew the consequences of making such a decision. These are things that we thought about like, hey, this is the right thing to do. This is going to probably get me in trouble. And we still go and pick the one that gets us in trouble. And that is what we're talking about, a foolish decision. You see, the wise person is always going to choose the right road, the right path. But a fool is going to choose the wrong path, is going to choose the foolish, make the foolish decision. Now, I just used the word moment of stupid, right? And me growing up, stupid was a bad word, right? Maybe for many of you still is. But let me show you, I like the message sometimes to look at how the Bible, interprets some of these scriptures. Verse 2 out of the message says this. It says, wise thinking leads to right living. But here it is. Stupid thinking leads to wrong living. Right, some of the versions use the word folly. Others use foolishness. But others now are using the word stupid. Like all those things identify this type, this style of living, right? Just making foolish decisions. I'm sure you've heard somebody say, oh, that was a stupid decision. Why did I do such a stupid thing, right? Because it's not that you're not intelligent, right? It's that you knowingly made a decision that was not the right decision, that was a foolish decision to make. And these are clearly foolish decisions. In fact, they're so foolish and they're so easy to identify that it says, hey, people can identify you when you make a foolish decision, and they can identify a fool from a mile away, even just the way that they walk down the street, right? Some of these decisions that we make are clear to everybody. It's like, hey, that was a bad decision. That was a foolish decision. Sometimes when we make these decisions, people just look at you and say, man, what a fool. What a fool. Anybody remember Mr. T from the A-Team? Yeah, you remember what he used to say? I pity the fool. Right? You know what a fool looks like. It's like, man, I pity that fool. Right? Because we're making these bad decisions. Always think before you do something and avoid these foolish things. Now, I have a quote from a great philosopher. His name is Dwight from The Office. Anybody watch the show The Office? This is what he says. He says, whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing. That's wisdom, right? Just thinking, yeah, just a basic pause on making a bad decision, making a foolish decision to say, am I going to look like an idiot doing that? And if there's a sense of yes, it's very easy. Don't do that. Do it. Don't do that. Here's the lesson. Wise living avoids foolish decisions. These are decisions that you and I choose to make. Second lesson is this. Wise living avoids foolish reactions. Wise living avoids foolish reactions. Look at verse 4. It says, if your boss is angry at you, don't quit. A quiet spirit can overcome even great mistakes. There's another evil that I have seen under the sun, where kings and rulers make a grave mistake when they give a great authority to foolish people and low positions to people of proven worth. I have even seen servants riding horseback like princes and princes walking like servants. You see, sometimes it's not the foolish decisions that we make. It's not just that. There's times where it's about how we react when we encounter foolish people in our lives. When we encounter fools that we have interaction with, can someone think of a fool that they know? Raise your, no. Don't point at them this morning. Don't answer that. This can be a family member, right? This can be a neighbor. This can be even your boss. Have you ever had someone like that lash out at you for no good reason? You see, these things, these people that we encounter in our lives that are fools, right? They, you know, they can lash out at you for no good reason. It happens in everyday life. And if it hasn't happened to you, sooner or later, you're going to encounter a crazy person in your path. But let's talk about your boss for a second. Yes, even a fool can rise to high places, is what the scripture says. Just because someone is in a place of leadership, it doesn't mean that they have integrity in the way that they're leading, right? It says, I have seen, some evil under the sun, right? That people give authority to people that are fools, and people that have proven themselves get low positions, right? Just because someone is in a place of leadership, it doesn't mean that they have integrity. It doesn't mean that they're wise. So what do you do when someone like your boss lashes out against you in anger? Do you overreact? Do you walk out of your job? Do you quit your job? Do you lash out back at them with the same level of anger that they lashed out at you? Do you respond with that same anger? How should we respond when we encounter someone like that, especially someone like your boss, especially someone that leads you in some way? Here's what wisdom tells us to do, and that is nothing. It says, do nothing. It says, stay calm. Don't do anything. Keep your composure. Don't overreact and don't panic when people just go crazy on you and lash out at you. In fact, it says that a quiet spirit, someone that remains calm and composed, can overcome even great mistakes. Even when they lash out at you because of something you did, if you keep your composure, if you keep a quiet spirit, it can overcome those great mistakes that you made. In other words, it's saying, hey, when somebody lashes out at you, don't be a fool like them. Don't respond with anger. Don't respond with quitting your job or walking out. Don't abandon your job. In fact, maybe you can let their anger pass because maybe it wasn't because of you. Hey, sometimes when people are angry or are living in a crisis or having a hard time, they'll lash out at anyone that crosses their path. And maybe you just happen to cross their path. And if you respond with calmness, maybe that's the right response. Maybe you will find grace before them. Maybe you can even overcome any mistake that you make. So say, hey, respond with wisdom and avoid foolish reactions. The third lesson is that wise living takes precautions. Wise living takes precautions. Here's verse 8. When you dig a well, you might fall in it. When you demolish an old wall, you could be bitten by a snake. When you work in a quarry, stones might fall and crush you. When you chop wood, there is danger with each stroke of your axe. What is he talking about? Right? It almost looks like a different topic from what we've been talking about, foolish living. Like, what is this talking about? Here's what Solomon is saying, right? There are foolish decisions that you and I can make that can be avoided, right? Like the ones that we make, like the bad decisions that we make maybe we knew what we were doing. That's one kind of decisions. Those can be avoided. But there are foolish decisions that we make that can be avoided. right? However, there are situations in life that are not unavoidable, that we can't avoid. Things that we don't have control of, things that are just part of everyday life. This is stuff that happens in life, and that's what Solomon is trying to tell us. These are some of the examples of everyday living where you may fall into danger that you have no control of, right? If you're digging a well, it's saying, hey, you need to be careful that you don't fall in that well. If you're tearing down an old wall, be careful. There may be snakes in that wall that can come out and bite you. If you're working in a quarry with stones, hey, don't let them crush you. Don't let them fall on you and crush you. If you're chopping wood, be careful with that axe because there's dangers in that work, right? If you're driving, drive carefully because there's crazy drivers out there. If you're even walking, watch your step. Make sure you don't step on a nail. Make sure you don't step on a pothole somewhere. If you get a flat tire on the road, just be careful with potholes, right? Maybe you're eating a nice steak and you start choking on the steak. These are things that you can't prepare for. These are things that they just happen as part of life. You have no control. You can't plan for them. You can't avoid them. You can't even expect them because you don't know when they're coming. And so wise living says, hey, we need to take precautions in life because there are dangers that we can't really plan for, but there are things that we can probably take precautions to avoid. These are unexpected moments in life, things that nobody plans for. These are accidents. These are unfortunate events. And so what it's saying is, hey, be careful and take precautions. The fourth lesson is that wise living anticipates and prepares. Here's verse 10. Using a dull axe requires great strength. So sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. If a snake bites before you charm it, what's the use of being a snake charmer? You see, when things can't be avoided, sometimes we just have to confront them and just do the best we can to prepare and to anticipate them, right? But here's the wisdom. There are some things that we can prepare for, things that we can anticipate and prepare beforehand, right? Last night we went out and we saw that it was raining, and because it was raining, what did? We grabbed our umbrella, right? Things that we can anticipate beforehand. This morning, I saw in the news that it was going to snow, or there was light snow. So, you know, we grabbed, and that it was really cold. So we grabbed our jacket, things that we can anticipate, things that we need, that we can prepare for, things that we can't blame on life or other people. Verse 10 says that if you're chopping wood and your axe is not sharpened, you're going to work harder. It's going to make it harder on yourself, right? If you're chopping wood all day long and that axe has not been sharpened, it's dull, it's not cutting anything, right? Because it's dull, you're going to spend all day working twice, three times as hard trying to chop that wood because you didn't anticipate, because you didn't prepare. And there's an easy answer to something like that, right? The answer is what? Sharpen the axe. Do something. Prepare for things that are going to make your life hard so that some things in life are easier. It says, be wise, sharpen your axe. Prepare ahead to make your life a little bit easier. Use common sense. It's saying, hey, this is wisdom. Here's a lesson. Try to anticipate things and prepare for them. Don't let them catch you off guard. Don't be a fool. Here's the fifth lesson. Wise living avoids foolish talk. Here's verse 12. Wise words bring approval, but fools are destroyed by their own words. Fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions, so their conclusions will be wicked madness. They chatter on and on, and no one really knows what is going to happen. No one can predict the future. Verse 15 says, fools are so exhausted by little work that they can't even find their way home. It's talking about words. It's talking about our language. It's talking about our talk, right? That words are powerful. Words are powerful. And it says, hey, if you want to live wisely, you need to choose your words wisely in everyday life. Because based on the words that you use, you can be labeled as a wise person, or you can be labeled as a fool. You see, wise words bring blessing upon people. Wise words can lift the spirit of someone, can lift others. Wise words can speak life into someone that is hurting. Into someone that needs a word of encouragement. Wise words can bring just such a liveliness into someone's heart. They can provide guidance. They can provide encouragement to someone that is down, someone that is feeling like life has beaten them down. Your wise words can bring somebody up and can restore someone back into life. Amen? They bring blessing. However, foolish talk is destructible. Not only to others, using your words doesn't just bring destruction into others, but also brings destruction to yourself. Your speech exposes what's in your spirit. Your speech can expose what is in your heart. Because a fool will only speak foolishness. And I like here that says that fools go on and on and on. Anybody know someone that just in their talk, they go on and on and on? They just keep talking. They don't listen. They don't even know what they're talking about. They go on and on and on. Amen? No finger pointing, okay? They just go on and on. And they usually go on and on about baseless assumptions, things that they don't know about. These are not facts. These are assumptions about the futures as if they knew what the future holds, right? These are theories. These are things that a fool just keeps talking on and on and on, and they don't know what they're talking about because only God knows the future. Only God can speak those things into your life. With all their senseless chatter, they even get tired easily with very little work. Too much talking, very little working. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or it can bring life. And those who love to talk will reap the consequences. See, your words can bring either life or they can bring death. And if you want to live wisely in your life, you know, want to try to choose words that bring life. Try to choose words that with wisdom when you speak into somebody's life, when you speak even in any conversation, bring words that bring life. It says, or they can bring death, right? They can kill someone's spirit. They can bring destruction. They can bring down someone that maybe is feeling encouraged. They can bring somebody down. They can speak death into the life of someone. Proverbs 13:16 says that wise people think before they act, but fools don't. And fools even brag about their foolishness. You see, fools don't think before they act. They react very quickly to things before they think through them, right? I don't know if you've ever gotten, you know, text messages that say, you have won $1,000. Have you gotten those text messages? And there's some people that, you know, that click on that link and they're navigating it. Hey, where can I put my Social Security? Where can I, you know, those are foolish things, right? The other day I got an email that said, you have been selected to be featured in Entrepreneur magazine for an article. And it goes through several paragraphs, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, oh, finally someone recognized my life accomplishments, right? Then all the way at the bottom I see, But if you send $49.99, we can send you all the details on how this can happen, right? Sometimes we just need to think a little bit about these things, these foolish things that we just go on. And hey, any mistake like that can bring your whole life down. Sometimes we need to think before we act. Or sometimes we need to even ask somebody around us, hey, does this look legit to you? You know, a while back, my wife was clicked on one of those links. We talk before this, okay, whenever I, whenever we expose, we talk about them. So, yeah, whenever she speaks, she'll probably, you know, throw my things out there. But one time she clicked on this thing, and she's navigating through the website, and she's like, hey, it's asking me for, you know, my email and my social security. Oh, it's asking me for my bank account number. And I'm like, whoa. But it's crazy because they designed these websites, they designed these links to look like your bank, to look like something that looks really legit, right? But then they drag you into these things, and it says, hey, wise people just think before you act. Fools, they don't think before they act. They just go right into and make foolish decisions in your life. So get some advice. Run things by someone and say, hey, does this sound foolish? And if they say yes, then think about it and don't do it, right? Here's the application. Speak less, listen more, because words have weight. Wisdom speaks grace, but foolishness speaks or keeps on talking and gets nowhere. Lesson number 6, and this is my last one. Wise living avoids foolish leadership. Look at verse 16. What sorrow for the land ruled by a servant, the land whose leaders feast in the morning. Happy is the land whose king is a noble leader and whose leaders feast at the proper time to gain strength for their work, not to get drunk. Verse 18, it says that laziness leads to a sagging roof and idleness leads to a leaky house. A party gives laughter, wine gives happiness, and money gives everything. Here's what it's saying. Don't be a foolish leader. See, before it was teaching us how to respond to foolish leaders. Now it's telling us, hey, you yourself, don't be a foolish leader. And many of us lead. Maybe you lead your home, your children, your household. Maybe you lead in your work, right? Maybe you lead in your community. Maybe you lead a ministry. There's many ways that we can be involved in leading other people. And the lesson here is, hey, don't be a foolish leader. Because a foolish leader is lacking in nobility. They are focused only on themselves, on their own pleasure, on their own desires. Right? It was talking about feasting in the morning. In other words, even before you get to work, even before you get to do your responsibilities, you're focused on feasting and getting drunk and all these things, right? You're not focusing on the right things. Foolish leaders put themselves first before others. It's all about me as a leader. It's not about the people that I lead. Foolish leaders lack integrity. They'll cut corners. They'll do whatever it needs to get the job done. They lack honor in their lives. They lack maturity. Foolish leaders are toxic in their leadership because they harm those that they lead. Foolish leaders are incompetent, unethical, and they're destructive. They neglect their responsibilities. In this particular scripture, it says due to drunkenness, right? They neglect their responsibility. They're not doing what they're supposed to because they're doing other things, other foolish things. It even says that they're lazy and idle. And when you're lazy and idle, sooner or later, you're going to neglect your responsibilities. If you're lazy and idle, sooner or later, you're going to neglect the things that you should be doing instead of being lazy, instead of being idle, right? It's using that, hey, you can sit in your home, while it's raining and you're watching the roof leaky, right? And says a fool just sits back and relaxes and waits for your house to be, coming down. Here's the wisdom. It is sorrow to be led by a foolish leader, or to be led by a fool. This is how they lead. And if you lead, what Solomon is saying, hey, don't lead like a fool. On the other hand, it says, be a wise and noble leader. If you lead people, whether it's at work or your ministry or your family, it says you need to lead with integrity. Lead with integrity. Lead with humility. Lead with compassion. Be fair to the people that you lead. Genuinely care for the people that you lead. Let me tell you something. When you genuinely care for the people that you lead, they will be faithful and loyal to you. They will work, twice as much if they need to get the job done because they know that you care for them. And if you don't care for them, they also know it right away. And they're not going to put their full effort into working for you. So lead with compassion, lead with integrity. Be genuine in the way that you lead people. Exercise self-control. Avoid foolish behaviors like drunkenness, for example, is the example that he gave us. Be a disciplined leader. Wisdom tells us that people led by a noble leader or a wise leader are people that are happy in their jobs, are people that are excited to do their work because they're being led by someone that cares for them. So if you lead people, don't be a foolish leader. Instead, be a noble leader. This is wise living. This is what it means to live wisely. Don't be a fool. You see, the character of leadership, listen to this, the character of leadership shapes the condition of the people that you lead. When you look at your family, the condition that they're in is dependent on the character of your leadership. The people that you lead at work, their condition that they're in depends on the character of their leader, or the way that you lead, or the integrity in which you lead them. The ministry that you lead depends on the character that you lead them with. So being a noble leader, leading wisely is important. In conclusion, we looked at six lessons from King Solomon on living wisely and avoiding foolish living. Avoiding foolish decisions in your life. Avoiding reacting foolishly when people lash out at you. Taking precautions in your life. Anticipating and preparing for things as much as you can. Avoiding foolish talk. And if you lead, avoiding foolish leadership. I feel like all these things are practical lessons for our everyday life today.